How long, O Lord? I'm sure each one of us have expressed to God that deep cry of our hearts, that deep anguish, the stress, the brokenness that we experience in our life. How long, O Lord? We step into this world with a cry, although none of us remember the moment, the first sound we uttered after leaving the warm and protected confines of our mother's womb is a loud protest. We enter wailing. See, to cry is human. And we don't stop crying after birth. The continual emotional response as we live in the created world infected with the broken stain of sin. And death, the ultimate reminder that something is not right with the world. Tears and sorrow are part of our humanity, as the brokenness of cancer, of sickness, of chronic illness, of viruses, of addictions, of failed marriages, of relational conflict, of loneliness and abuse, or watching a loved one endure such suffering. How long, O Lord? Friends, there's an often neglected prayer language in the Bible for our tears filled travel through the broken world. It's lament. Lament is not the same as crying. See, to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. The Bible is filled with this song of sorrow. Over a third of the Psalms are lament. There's a whole book of Lamentations. Jesus himself lamented in the final hours of his life. Lament turns us towards God when sorrow tempts you to run from him. And lament is different than crying because lament is a form of prayer. And it's more than just the expression of sorrow or the venting of emotion. See, lament talks to God in the midst of pain about pain. And it has a unique purpose, and that is trust. It is divinely given invitation to pour out our fears, our frustrations, to pour out our sorrows for the purpose of helping us to renew our confidence in God. How long, O Lord? A cry of our hearts, a deep anguish that in that cry we realize that not only with the Lord that a day can be like 1,000 years. For in those moments, God can feel so far away. But the good thing is the Bible doesn't hide from the difficulties of life that we know personally to be true. And we shouldn't pretend to sweep our pain and anguish under the carpet and to deny what we know to be true that even Jesus himself knows to be true. In his cry, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 13 is a prayer of lament, and it's uniquely Christian. And it asks of each of us, are we authentic in our walk with God? Are we authentic in our walk with each other? Are we an authentic church as we walk together with our God? For as we enter into the despair of David's life and his cry, his lament, we put our story here. It is our cry too, if we are honest. But it's a cry of our heart that we need to take to God first. As we wrestle with what seems to be unanswered prayers, but also how we can turn our mourning into dancing, we see David's cry turn to joy, even if it's still through tears. How long, O Lord? Well, let's enter David's anguish as he invites us to in Psalm 13, in verse 1 and 2. It says this, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day, you have sorrow in my heart. How long will my enemy triumph over me? You know, David cries out four times, how long, Lord? And this is about living with unanswered prayer, feeling abandoned by God. One writer noted, long enough, God. You have ignored me long enough. Put me out of my misery. I can't take looking at the back of your head any longer. It feels like that though, doesn't it? This lament shows something of our God and our relationship with him that he invites us into. See, David is not afraid to complain to God, the Lord himself, about his life. He doesn't pretend. But this is the Christian life for us. There's no hint we should suppress our anguish or we can't complain to God. He doesn't censor such a response. Friends, this is why our pursuit of knowing God is not just knowledge about God, but to know that you're known by God, that you're loved by God. And he invites, he longs for us to come to him as David does, as one living in a relationship with God. For us now, that real personal relationship with and through the Lord Jesus. He says, come. Yet David feels like God has abandoned him, has forgotten him. As another writer noted, we love the fact that God remembers our sin no more, don't we? As we trust Jesus and enter a relationship with him, he remembers our sins no more. Even though we fail and fall each day, we repent. Jesus washes us clean. And he treats us as if we haven't sinned. But we don't want that same response in forgetting me, in not hearing me, do we? Yet it feels like God does forget us. As David Christ suggests, we put out our prayers, our petitions and a request to God and it seems like he doesn't answer. Things haven't changed. Maybe for your husband or wife or friend. The illness continues to inflict you. The broken relations, unresolved worries and anxieties keep you awake at night. The days turn into the weeks into years, and nothing changes. And we come to God again and again, and there's no change. How long, O Lord? Long enough, Lord. They say in space that no one hears your scream. Well, David is saying, my relationship with my Father in heaven, he is not hearing my cry. How long, O Lord? If that is you, cry loud. Cry often. God does hear you. So David is praying to his personal God, the God who rescues his people, the God who created the world and created us in his image, the God and Father of the Lord Jesus. This is the God so faithful to us in the past. But it seems to be doing nothing to solve his problems now. And you notice in verse 2 that this leaves David in torment, his thoughts that haunt his heart and mind. You know, things that cause you to wake up in the middle of the night, the thoughts of doubts. You may have asked this question, why am I so? Maybe you can fill in the blanks. Why are these things happening to me? They are haunting my and giving me such doubts. But what is causing David's pain? There seems to be this unknown enemy. Maybe it's Saul or Absalom, his son, who he flees from. Yet there is something or someone in his life wanting to bring him down. There may be someone in our life that has caused you pain in your life or in your work or family. Maybe it's a neighbor. this behind all these causes of pain, there is always someone. There's always someone trying to bring you down, and you're left pleading with God, please stop this person. You know, it doesn't matter how you respond or treat them, they are still against you. David has an enemy. How long, O Lord? Well, the lament of David turns to prayer in verse 3. Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give me light to my eyes or I'll sleep in death. Look at me. It's a cry for God to personally look at David, his king at the time, at his situation. Take a good look and answer me. But you notice what David says. He says, my God. Even in the midst of feeling abandoned, the Lord is still his God. For he knows that he is known by God, knows him by name, knows he will never leave him or forsake him. God promises us to never change to us. My God. Give light to my eyes. I think to endure, I'm on the verge of death. I think that means to give me strength, Lord. Uphold me in my anguish. That's the prayer of David to his God. How long, O Lord, I'm hanging on by my fingertips, for he feels his enemy will gloat over his downfall. Look at verse 4. My enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. Hopeless, isn't he? Yet he is King David. The fall would bring shame on God. There is a lot at stake in the downfall of God's chosen king. And much larger than our life, the enemies are for us today, the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, the world that Jesus has overcome that still influences us and tempts us and can bring us down. The devil enslaves us to fear of death unless we hope in the resurrection of Jesus. And as I said, people in our lives who oppose us as Christians. You know, behind stress is other than illness, is people angry with you. People in the workplace that are disappointed about you, who leave you with a cutting word of criticism or ridicule. You don't measure up to their standards. Well, here the enemy is intent on bringing you down. We all have those people in our lives. They were in David's life, yet he is concerned with the Lord's name. From lament to prayer. But there's another shift. There's a prayer to praise. Not because the enemy is defeated. There's no sign of that. We know that Saul pursued him as his son Absalom did and the nations raised against David. But here's the key to this lament. Here's the key to prayer. In spite of what happening, verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. So David doesn't wait for things to get better before he praises his God. His struggle or person is out to get me. I'm afflicted to despair, but that won't stop me from praising you. Friends, this is not a pretend relationship. In his sorrow, somehow David lays claim God is for him. May not feel it. The enemy is more real to him, but God's unfailing love that he holds on to. Well, how much better is it for us that God is for us? In Romans 8, who can stand against us if God is for us and didn't spare his son for us? The one who dies the death we deserve dies. We're going to sing another song shortly, How Deep the Father's Love for Us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. In Galatians 2, verse 20, this is an extraordinary verse. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God loves me. I'm his treasured. I'm loved. See, our relationship with Jesus is personal. He didn't just die for the whole world, but for you personally. See, if I was the only sinner in the world, Jesus would still have died for me, as he would have for you. And David is saying, I don't know why this enemy is still pursuing me, why you haven't stopped them and taken this struggle, this pain, the suffering from me. But I know this. I know you love me, and because of that, I'll praise your name. To praise God in answering your prayer is a must, but to praise him when still in pain and brokenness, that is another thing. I was remembering that mother of those three children killed in that horrific crash at Oatlands a few months back. And the extraordinary, through tears, faith that she showed in God. She said to the driver, I forgive him. I cannot hate him. For the Father has forgiven me. And she asked the community to pray for her family. God loves me first, but we love our God. For that is where this psalm ends. In verse 6, I'll sing the Lord's praise for he has been good to me. But friends, this is the authentic Christian life. Not just how long, O Lord, but I will sing to the Lord. Not just how long, O Lord, but I'll turn my lament into prayer. I'll turn my prayer into prayer, into praise. But it's not just that I'll sing to the Lord, but I'll cry out, how long, O Lord? But I think sometimes we just do one. We cry out in the midst of our pain and anguish, distress and suffering. Or we live in denial of the struggles and we just praise God. But to be able to have the long, how long prayers, but as I wait for the answer through tears, I'll sing and say, God, you are so good for me and so good to me. This psalm shows us the real authentic Christian life. There is such depth to these psalms of lament. This might be only a cry of a few words, but you get a sense this problem may be going on for weeks or months or years for David. David doesn't seek a quick fix or try and simplify his distress and just get to the point of praising God. He doesn't do that. He starts by wrestling with the pain and wrestling with his God. And it's an honest complaint before God. That's what lament is. There's no time frame. There's no suggestion I've been wrestling with this issue for a while. Give up and just praise God. Please don't hear that. But whatever it takes for David to bring that all before God. And that's what we must do. You know, we expect to have the solutions for the stress before we learn to live with stress. But what God wants us to do is to cry out to him with that in the midst of that sense of abandonment and hopelessness. And trust him in the middle of it and lay claim to his love for us in Jesus. Jesus, whom himself knew the stress of this broken world. From Hebrews 5 verse 7 again, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions. And notice with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus stood where David stood to where we stand now. Not only found praying, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. He also said, how long, O Lord? Why have you forsaken me? Well, I want to finish Psalm 13 with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, because I think I see this psalm in that moment with Jesus. A moment of great distress, but he is not alone. In Matthew 26, verse 36, then Jesus went with his disciples to the place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." But in verse 37, notice he says, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. Jesus didn't go through things alone. Jesus didn't hide things from his disciples of what real life looks like. And Jesus goes on, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus didn't hide his sorrow, his anguish from his disciples. He even went further. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." I think Jesus, in one of the moments of greatest despair, as he is about to die for the sins of this world, deeply in sorrow, his heart is in utter anguish. But he's not alone. He shares with his disciples. He asks them to come and pray with him, the King of the universe. But Jesus goes on to say, "Take this cup, not my will, but your will be done." From a lament, I think, to praise through tears. But there is a moment that Jesus is all alone, and that's on the cross, where I said he cries out, "Why, God, have you forsaken me?" Friends, I think we see in Jesus what it means to be authentic. I think we see in this moment and in David what it means to be authentic before our God in heaven, and what it means to be authentic with each other. That God has given us each other. He's given us his church. He's given us brothers and sisters. Not for us to pretend. What we learn from David is a plea for us to lament like David does. And to pray like David does, to give light to my eyes. Give me strength, Lord. And to praise like David does. For as we sit at our Father's feet, we can praise him. He is so good to us. We are known by God. We are loved by God. And we're saved by God into a living hope. How long, O Lord? Well, friends, as a way of response, in the quietness of your home, we're going to sing "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And can I encourage you to use this as a song of lament, to use it as a song of prayer, and to use it as a song of praise. And then we're going to break out in our rooms. Maybe it's a chance to pray for each other. I invited you to put your story into David's story, into this psalm this morning. But I pray you can be encouraged as we sing this song to remind it of God's love for us.